At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for that.
Yeah.
It's a poor shot. Lattimore, he picked it off. Goes out of bounds at the 7-yard line. He turned around and stole that one.
Wow. You talk about, hey, we've been waiting on Marshawn Lattimore to make a play. And this is actually absolutely textbook on how you defend a back shoulder fade. He's on top of the receiver, but he also has vision on the quarterback. Gets his head around and makes a great interception.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. I think what's impressive about that interception by Marshawn Lattimore is that Patrick Mahomes said postgame that's exactly where he wanted to throw the ball. Lattimore just made a really good play. Now, he was not guarding wide receiver one or wide receiver two. I think we found out. Lattimore can still play against wide receiver threes. The guys that he defended when he was at his prime that are wide receiver ones, those guys are out of the league. Right? Except for like Mike Evans for the most part. He is not a CB1 or CB2, but he can still defend, I guess, wide receiver threes. Joining us right now, Michael Phillips. We don't have time for a sounder. Let's get right into this. Crosstalk with MP. What's up, man? How are you?
Yeah, no, that was a really impressive interception. Takes me off his back for a second. And part of the promised personnel changes, I think, you know, I was hoping that it would involve him not playing, but I thought they did a nice job of putting him in situations where he could be successful. We saw some plays last night where they had three safeties on the field, right? That's just extra help, extra assistance. You saw the cost of that in the second half when they couldn't get to Mahomes, but it really helped bolster the secondary.
Yeah, let's go through the changes because everybody wanted the coaching staff to make changes. They did, and whether or not they were successful or not.
Yeah, you know, at linebacker, I think there's still probably a little too much Bobby Wagner, but you bring in some of the youth. You bring in some of the energy, you know, the Kane Medranos of the world, the Jordan McGee's of the world. And I'm not going to tell you they were flawless. They weren't flawless. And I think that's why the coaching staff had been so hesitant to make those changes, because they know these guys will make mistakes. And they did make mistakes. They also brought speed. And I think the pros were worth the cons here, Adam, because I think that there were fewer embarrassing moments where guys got beat, missed tackles, outrun. You know, this defense had just looked slow the last few weeks, and I thought they were playing at game speed last night. So I'd score that a good change overall.
So Tyler Owens was playing a decent amount of snaps out there. I didn't like what he brought. Compared to the other guys, at Luvu at edge rusher, it's not the same in Luvu as last year. Maybe it worked because it was like a blitz play, or you didn't know he was coming. When you know Luvu's coming, it's like he has one move. It's the speed rush attack, and it doesn't work. I thought half the changes worked. You know.
Yeah, it was a partial win, and you know, to speak to your point about Owens, right? I mean, that's why he was on the bench. Was they saw in practice every week, like, this isn't what we're looking for out there. I think they felt they had no choice, and I think they were correct. And I think they were correct to show it to all of us and to show it to the world that, okay, here are the guys we've got behind that, and here's what you're going to get from them. And I'm prepared to lobby for more of that. I think you're more deflated than me this morning, but I am deflated about this team's long-term chances this year. And so what do you do with a team that's not going to make it to the NFC title game? You see what you've got for the future. You let these guys grow. And so I'm certainly not opposed to letting them continue to grow, even if that means some missteps from time to time. Yeah, Lulu's a fascinating one, Adam. He was really, really good last year. We all saw it with our own eyes. It's indisputable. And he hasn't been that good this year. And I think Sanders still's a little bit of that as well. I think Sanders still's been better than Luvu. But you just get the sense of, like, they were better last year than this year. And that's the head-scratcher is why that regression, because there's not an obvious injury reason here.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I think you made a good point in terms of the season is spiraling out of control, but we're not eliminated yet. But when that point comes, how does Dan Quinn keep this group together? It would be his first time in Washington working with guys that know, hey, there's nothing to play for at the end of the day. That's something to keep an eye on in November and October. I want to get your take on this, because I hate this take that's going around, Michael, that last season was a blessing and a curse. No, it wasn't. It's a blessing. It was the best season of my lifetime. That's it. Every season is separate. I hate this take that, oh, it was a curse. No, they were aggressive. How many other teams made two trades? I even think they drafted well. They're not getting the production that we got from last year's stars. That doesn't mean that it was a curse.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean you do anything differently either, I don't think. And, you know, that was something I was talking with Ben Standing about. Even if you, in your crystal ball, know that this year is going to shape up the way this year shapes up, even if you know that back in March, back in January when they're making these trades, I think you still make the trades, because this is also about more than just this season. This is about your franchise quarterback of the future, you know, and that is still Jaden Daniels, right? He has unquestionably hit a little bit of a sophomore slump. The injuries are, that's a question mark. But right now, as you talk to me, the future of this team is 10 years of Jaden Daniels playing great quarterback, and hopefully more than that. All of the trades were designed to give him a better chance to win and more weapons, and to make sure he knows that everybody loves him here in the front office and is ready for that big contract extension when the day comes, and is going to do what it takes to support him. And, you know, that's the Laremy Tunsil deal. They got the best left tackle who was available, right? You know, you can yell all you want, like, go get somebody better. Like, nobody better was available. They got the best left tackle who was available. They drafted who they felt was the best left tackle who was available. And he'll be the left tackle of the future as long as he develops well. And you get Deebo Samuel, a guy who gives him a great weapon. I none of those moves bother me. Like, you go back in time and you say, okay, you know that this year's bad. Would you do that again? Yes, I would still do every single one of those moves again.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to continue to, as people blame Adam Peters, defend him. As people blame Dan Quinn, I'm going to defend him. This is on the players. The guys who overperformed last year are taking a massive step back.
Yeah, and you know, it's we can parse out the blame pie, but certainly when you've got a 4th and 7, Zach Ertz catches it, needs an extra half yard, you need him to get that half yard, right? We can talk about should it have been a different route, should it have been a different play, but that's a play he makes in his NFL career, and he didn't make that play last night.
Do you believe the measurement was correct? Because I think they got things wrong all game long.
I believe the spot was wrong. Like, where they spotted it was short of a first down, but I believe the spot was incorrect. The spot should have been at the first down line. I was confused. One, I thought that was worth challenging, but then two, we had the whole commercial break, and we never really got a better or different look at it.
But it's a turnover. Like, why is that not a reviewable play, right? Aren't all turnovers reviewable?
Weirdly, a fourth down is not a turnover. If you go for it on fourth down, and it is called a turnover on downs, that's the literal name of it, but it does not go down in the scorebook as a turnover and does not get automatically reviewed. The rules are weird. That the whole computer measurement thing that took 2 minutes, that was super weird. I don't know what the NFL's doing, man. I got big-time officiating issues with the NFL, the way it's going right. And they were bad in Dallas, too.
Right.
And you know me, I don't like to talk about the refs after a loss, because that's generally not the reason you lose. but they've unquestionably been bad the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It favored the home team quite a lot. I mean, my goodness, was that spot awful on the one that Dan Quinn was forced to challenge, right? And then, or the one that was reviewable, and then the one that...
Two Terry catches, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just like, what are they watching?
and you know, the whole tush-push thing, which is its own thing altogether, with, you know, the Giants force a very obvious fumble. We go to replay because I'm told replay's here to fix that sort of thing, and then it doesn't. In Steelers-Packers, the offsides that wasn't called, where Rodgers thought he had a free play, and then all of a sudden they're punting late in the game.
That was so bad.
That's a game-changingly
bad call.
But
let's get back to our game. Like the yeah. The Mahomes late hit and then the Quan Martin hit where they called him for unnecessary roughness.
He wrapped up Mahomes in the end zone, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other one, like the Quan Martin one, I think completely changed the game because that's the first drive of the third quarter. That's 3rd and 10 right there, and instead it's a 15-yard penalty. That was the first down is always everything.
And I'll point out one more to you, which I thought was fascinating. The other way, Bobby Wagner pushes Mahomes out of bounds, and it was a very legitimate play, but we've all seen Mahomes get that flag every single time he does that whole, like, I'm flying into the bench. Somebody do something about that. He's a very good actor. But Bobby Wagner pushes him. Bobby Wagner doesn't get flagged. I think that was like Mahomes rules the other way towards the ref. It's like, it's Bobby Wagner. We're not going to flag him. He's a legend. There's clearly an initiative to protect Mahomes. I say that as a Chiefs fan. I watch all the Chiefs games. You know that. Like, clearly he gets the calls. Jordan got the calls when Jordan got the calls. It is in the NFL's best interest that its star player get the calls. I wish he would do less acting because it makes it harder to stomach the ones that are legitimate when you get ones that clearly aren't legitimate.
All right, Michael, lastly here, I'm going to throw this hot take at you that I just was pissed off watching the game last night. All right. And we're going to need to watch the first turnover back here. But you've called this out before. I don't think Terry McLaurin knows the plays. I don't think he knows the offense because he missed training camp. And I'm blaming him partially for the Debo dropped interception because I think Debo turned to tell McLaurin to get in the right spot. And when he turned around, he lost his focus a little bit. Did you get that sense at all?
Yeah. And you know why Terry McLaurin doesn't know the plays? Because he hasn't practiced. He hasn't practiced with this team. Anyway, he did his partial practice this week getting ready for the game, but practice matters. And he missed all of it, the whole training camp and the part after it. And, you know, we've debated many times the causes of that, but you and I are both 100% in alignment that because he missed the practices, he is not as good as he needs to be right now. Whatever the cause of that, the effect is, we're not getting the Terry McLaurin we need on some of these plays.
Yeah, and that continued in the fourth quarter. You could say the game was over or not. They threw to Jalen Lane because he was not in on a key third down, right? And then he did not come back into the game. I mean, I think amateur watching the game, you say, this guy absolutely re-injured himself. Prove me wrong.
Yes. No. And he was talking to the trainers on the sidelines. So that is absolutely the correct read on that. Was he felt something tweak. He said after the game, he's good. That's what you have to say after you miss that much time after a holdout. I will be curious to see what the next week brings here for Terry McLaurin, because if this is just a thing that's going to linger all season and Jane's going to linger all season, that's not going to help the feeling of hopelessness.
Nope. Michael, thanks for joining me today. Hope you make it home safely.
All right, see you in studio tomorrow.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Aggressive here. They're going for it. It's a 4th and 6.
The alert for a zero blitz by the Chiefs.
Zach Ertz goes in motion. McNichols to the left of Mariota. 4th and 6 at the Chiefs 40. Aggressive move here early. They snap it. Chiefs break 5. Mariota's got time. Throws into the slot. That is caught by Zach Ertz right at the line to gain. It's going to matter where they mark it.
That's a first down. Let's see this spot.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. That was Bram Weinstein, London Fletcher on the call. The official radio broadcast that can be heard right here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. As we sit here today, Tuesday, October 28th, just after 12:30 p.m., and it is another terrible Tuesday. Phone lines are open. 833-804-0910 as the Commanders suffer their third defeat in a row. And another loss on national television in prime time. Just everything went wrong in the second half as this franchise continues to move backwards after nearly making it to the mountaintop last season. And I'm pissed off after last night. The second half felt like we showed zero fight. We just laid down and let the Chiefs walk to victory. In the first half, we did not take advantage of the mistakes they made, and we did nothing in the second. An embarrassing loss. But for some reason, I woke up today feeling pretty positive because I already said the season's over. So I'm deep down, I think in the back of my brain, I'm mentally checked out. But I kind of woke up today feeling optimistic because I called for a better performance, and we actually got one for the entire game, only giving up 28 points to the Chiefs. You'll take that. Thought we were going to score 27, would have made it a hell of a game. But we did put it together for one half. That first half, we put it together. We looked like a competent defense. We were fast. We had the offense that was moving the football. We just didn't cash in, and that's frustrating. But Terry McLaurin made a sick catch in the end zone, and we went into the break against the best team in the AFC and arguably the best team in football in the last 5 years, 7-7. I mean, there is something positive to take away from that. The second half spiraled out of control just like the entire season has. But we played well for a half. And I'm feeling very positive today that maybe this team can come home and in front of their home crowd in Landover, Maryland, we put it together for a full game. I don't know that we're going to put it together for the full rest of the season, but I was expecting a blowout loss. That's like not really what I thought I saw. In the end, it's a blowout loss, but it took an interesting path to get there where we were absolutely in this game. And I think there were some very positive changes made by Dan Quinn and this coaching staff. The goal for this season was to make the playoffs. It's certainly in jeopardy, but it's not over yet. And while it's not over, I'm going to try to stay positive. Because you know what, Stubb? I can't go harder than I did last week.
It's hard to.
I said the sky is falling. The season's over. This week, I told Michael, feels like the sky has fallen, and we are surviving underground. We're living in this new apocalypse. We have supplies, and we have hope that the rescue is on the way in Jaden Daniels. But we are living in this apocalypse right now. We're not dead. We found shelter underground. We have to find a way to somehow win two of the next three before the bye or we're completely cooked. But it can't get worse than the sky is falling. The sky has fallen. This is where we're at right now. We're surviving, like I said, off beans and water. I don't know what to expect moving forward here, but I am very optimistic about this first half performance. And things changed at the break, and their crowd was awesome, and Andy Reid's unbelievable at making halftime adjustments. But we did put together 30 minutes of decent football, and there was a lot more than I was expecting after giving up 44 to the Dallas Cowboys. Like, Michael made a great point on his show, and I had it in my notes to bring it up, so I'll tell it to you right now. I think that 75% of the league scores a field goal on that final drive of the half. Patrick Mahomes had, what, 58 seconds? And we forced a punt? That tells me our defense is turning the corner a little bit. Like, that was exactly what we needed. We actually did what I was calling for in terms of eliminating a possession from the Chiefs, because we took 5.5 minutes to get the touchdown to Terry. And I'm thinking, all right, we took not enough time. We gave them too much time. But then our defense stepped up and made the play. There's a lot of negativity going around. And that second half was awful. But I'm choosing to look at the positives from that first half as something to at least build on from next week. I don't want to talk about next season yet. I know a lot of the fan base is. I got people tweeting me, mock drafts. Who are we going to take next year? We got a million positions to fix, it feels like. But this season's not over until we are eliminated. And I'm trying to stay optimistic because we are coming home. And as much as we did not deserve to win that game last night, you don't deserve to win when you create two interceptions basically in the first quarter and score 0 points. 0 points, right? But the referees were in favor of the Chiefs, it felt like. The referees were in favor of the Cowboys last week. It's going to be nice to come home, and maybe we'll get some home cooking and some decent calls from the refs. I cannot believe that Dan Quinn had to use a challenge when it was pretty obvious that that was a catch. I'm like, what are you looking at there? Just call it a catch, and they will review it from the booth. Or the Johnny Newton late hit. Or the Quan Martin one. Like, a lot of things went wrong, and we didn't deserve to win this game. But there was a lot more positives than there were negatives. There were. And it's probably hard to hear that because you woke up today and your team's 3-5 and that second half was embarrassing. But to score only 7 points in the first half and be tied with the Kansas City Chiefs is absolutely something to take away as a positive. And I think we got good film on tape. It's hard to look back at a 28-7 loss and say we got good film on tape. But we did. That touchdown to Terry McLaurin was freaking awesome. Now, I hate DeMarcus Mariota. It just feels like he has the worst touch in football. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, the lob pass to McNichols, he was asking for that to be a pick six. He lollipopped that thing up there. But that pass to McLaurin, perfect execution on a play that you absolutely needed to have it on third down, right? And there were a few of those. Another one where he hit McLaurin on the sidelines. McLaurin made some good catches, and Mariota gives his guys an opportunity. I like that about him. He was not great, for sure. And I thought he made a few mistakes in terms of pocket presence, for sure, and knowing when to run and when to throw the ball away. But there were a lot more positives than there were negatives in this one. And I didn't expect to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I expected to give up 35-plus points. I'm feeling pretty good about 28. And we can come home here. And it can't get much worse, right? I have no choice but to be positive and optimistic, I feel like. Because we're one more loss away from the season's over. The sky has fallen. We survive the apocalypse for 1 week, and then they come for us. And we're done. What do you want me to say here? We actually got the changes from the coaching staff. It's like they listened to us, right? I had somebody that was tweeting me during the game, weren't you and Michael Phillips saying that we should have benched Marshawn Lattimore? Yeah, keep talking. All right, he made one good play. But that was the change that we wanted of him not being on the outside. So, look, we asked for changes. They gave it to us. I'm going to say the same thing that I said last week, and I'm probably sounding like a broken record. Adam Peters was one of the most aggressive general managers this offseason. I'm not blaming him. Find another team that executed two trades for starters on the offensive side of the ball. We got bit by the injury bug. That's not his fault. And the coaching staff has made the changes that we've asked for. The players aren't making plays at all. At all. It's there for them to make the plays. They're not making them. I thought we put our guys in the right positions in this game. We just didn't execute in the second half at all. And, you know, if you're going to blame Dan Quinn for this game, it's what he said. Whatever he said at halftime didn't work. Because the Chiefs came out and they were just a completely different animal. But I saw that game and I said, look, I expected to get our asses kicked. And maybe you could say we got our asses kicked, but we didn't for the first 30 minutes. And so maybe they can use that as a stepping stone to a full 60 minutes of good football when they return home for Sunday night football against the Seahawks. I don't know what else to say. I'm trying to stay positive. There were some things that went well in that game for at least the first 30 minutes. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. We'll give you our flash grades, blame pie, and the coach's conversation coming up next.
Third and four. Worthy goes in motion. Washington breaks forward. Mahomes time. Throws over the middle. Popped up in the air. That's picked off by Bobby Wagner. Second interception of the first half for Washington. The first for Wagner this season. First down, Commanders.
Tips and overthrows.
Tips and overthrows, baby. There we go,
Tips and overthrows, and you just have to be just a little bit lucky sometimes. And this is Patrick Mahomes throwing the football to a wide open Travis Kelce. And he threw it with some heat. Hot, high and hot, and Bobby Wagner right where he needed to be.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So I want to start with flash grades and the blame pie. At 1 p.m., we'll get to my 10 takeaways. We'll go around the NFL on an Overreaction Tuesday, as well as more thoughts on this Commanders loss to the Chiefs here on a terrible Tuesday. You can chime in 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910, or tweet us at AWOD Radio at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. We've got Jeremy helping out with the production, and Stubb is on the ones and twos. And I'm going to give the offense a C- for this game. Probably should be worse than that, but I thought they moved the football. They were decent on third down, 7-12. So I'm giving the offense a C-, a defense a C+, and that's really the turnovers, because it's not like they got off the field that much. It wasn't until the Chiefs punted late, but they did force the Chiefs to be pretty bad on third down. Special teams, C-. Jalen Lane really cost us, and I don't know about you guys, but on that one in particular, you have to let the ball bounce. You have to let the ball bounce. They want you to try to make a hard catch and drop it. It's going to bounce, and at that speed, it's going to fly through the back of the end zone. Take the ball to 35, please. So offense, defense, special teams. Blame pie. 25% on the offense, 25% on the defense. Mahomes being really good at football, 25%. And 25% on Dan Quinn. Obviously, he got the fast start he wanted. Where was the second half adjustments? Freaking awful. Another first quarter with 0 points. And I just think Dan Quinn made some mistakes there on those play calls on fourth down. Like, he's the one that's deciding to go for it. Cliff Kingsbury's calling the play. Well, they were not on the same page in terms of what the down and distance is, the situation in this game. And you had an opportunity to take a lead on the road and get your defense an opportunity to play from ahead for the first time in a while. And so I think my thoughts on this game is just like, that's what happens in the NFL when you don't take advantage of your opportunities. Missed opportunities in this league always come back to bite you. In the heart of the moment, I was in on going for it on fourth downs. But looking back on it, at least one of those is stupid. It's not the right move in this game. It always matters. The opponent, the situation, and the quarterback. And that's what it came down to. They might have had success on 83% of fourth downs last year at a historic level. How many of those damn fourth downs were Marcus Mariota? Right? And so Dan Quinn screwed up in my mind. Could have been 13-7 at the half if he took two field goals.
I wonder how much of that is a kicker you don't trust. You barely even know.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
I
Matt
get
Gay's
that.
Out there. Do you kick it? I don't know.
I mean, I didn't trust Matt Gay from
that. Right,
range.
I know.
Matt Wright can't be worse.
I mean, he could be.
Fourth and long. Stupid to go and throw it behind the line of gain. I mean, Zach Ertz just always gets tackled. His knee goes down. His knee goes down immediately. He doesn't show his age until he gets the ball in his hands. Miss. Give your kicker a chance on this one. Then the fourth and one, like, throwing deep. It's not Jaden Daniels. And that was a shorter field goal. And again, that's just as bad as an interception because you lost the momentum with both of those. One of those, you need to at least kick a field goal, in my mind. I get it. Hindsight's always 20-20. But when you look at the way things played out in that first half, first off, you needed that final drive to even make it a game, right? Because if Terry McLaurin is out of bounds, it's 7-3, and we probably don't even score a touchdown in that game, right? But you needed that drive to be points because you had squandered three other opportunities. Three of them. And one of them, again, I'm glad Michael's on my team here because as soon as I saw them telling McLaurin you're in the wrong spot, I felt like it was going to be a bad play. And Debo, it goes right through his hands, and everyone in the plant's going to blame him for that interception because of that drop right there. But the guys didn't know the play, and that pisses me off. Coaching conversation. We saw the changes that we asked for. Louisville was almost always a blitzer. There was lots of McGee. Tyler Owens and Savage played a lot of snaps. There were still guys wide open. There were still guys that missed tackles. Mahomes still had all day in the pocket. And so, I don't know about you guys, but once again, I see this as a player's issue, not a coaching problem. I blame Dan Quinn on the fourth down, but in terms of like executing the game plan, this is just players not making plays. That's what I'm watching.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a combination of the team the Chiefs are just a better team than the Commanders are. It's a combination of that and the fact that the Commanders are just too hurt right now. They don't know exactly what they're doing on defense over there, especially.
And we can't put together a full 60 minutes.
Right.
You know, and that's been an issue all season long. We don't really have an identity for this team yet this season.
I think I leave this game with optimism because when I look at it, it feels winnable with Jaden.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if Jaden was out there, he converts those fourth downs. He gives us a lead in the first half.
Yeah.
And it was winnable.
Yeah. The problem is, frickin' Adam Schefter's stirring things already
before the game
and saying he's going to miss next Sunday. I mean, did you really have to make that report, Adam? We already see you on TV enough. It's so annoying. Like, he's not really getting information. He's just putting it out there that his whole take on why Jaden would miss next Sunday is look at Lamar. Like, could you get more basic than that with your reporting?
Not every hamstring is the same.
No. Not every player's the same.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I mean, that like I said a couple segments ago, I'm optimistic because the sky was already falling. I saw this coming, and I thought it would be worse than this. I'm actually very pleased with what we saw in the first half. Me and my buddy grabbed a beer and stood outside, did our own little halftime show out in my backyard, and we were like, "Can you believe this? We actually have a reason to watch the second half." We were shocked. Now, he ended up going home before the start of the fourth quarter. But, like, we had a reason to watch the second half on Monday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's not terrible.
No, in Kansas City.
Yeah.
With our backup quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, we all asked for changes defensively, and we got them.
Yeah.
But it didn't really make a difference.
No, it didn't. It didn't at the end of the day. I mean, it worked in the first half, at least a little bit, right? You can hang your hat on that, but then Mahomes just came out in the third quarter, and there's just not a lot you can do about that.
Yeah, another reason I blame the players is just mental mistakes. Like, I know Michael wants to go back and watch it again. I saw it enough times. What the hell is Sam Cosmi doing? What the hell is Sam Cosmi? He's the one that sets the protection there. So the communication was wrong with him and Josh Connerly then. But on a critical third down, in the second half, your biggest drive of the game, and an unblitzed or an untouched blitzer gets through when they're only sending four? I mean, that's the story of this season. So is the Deebo Samuel play. The story of this season. The game, the play call is right. Go back and watch the replay. I know I was already talking about McLaurin being in the wrong spot, but they got the blocks lined up. He was going to catch that and get 5 or 6 yards. That's this season in a nutshell. We're not executing the play call at all. And we really struggle to string together back-to-back-to-back good plays. And that's why all of our drives, it seems like, offensively fall short. We fall short of the red zone or fall short of the goal line. Because just something happens to go wrong. A false start, a holding penalty, a dropped pass, right? I mean, am I wrong? Did Ertz have another big drop in that game, or was it Jalen Lane had a big drop? I think Ertz had one early on, though.
I think Ertz had one on. I know Jalen Lane had a drop late in that game that kind of messed
Ertz,
with the
Ertz
drive.
Also had one on a slant where the Chiefs blitzed, and if he caught it, he might have taken it 60 yards. But, like, dropped passes, missed tackles, missed assignments, blown coverages. I'm sorry, but that's not a coaching issue. Like, people are so ready to turn on Dan Quinn. So ready to turn on Dan Quinn. The player's not making plays out there. That's what I watched.
I don't love the late in the fourth quarter punt down 21.
That was waving the right white flag.
Yeah,
that
I
was,
don't
hey,
love doing that.
We're already injured enough. I mean, believe me, I didn't love it. I had Deebo in fantasy, and I lost last night because he did nothing in the second half. So I don't understand what that was. That was the white flag. That was, hey, it's 28-7 with a backup quarterback, and we can't do anything.
It feels very un-Quinn to me.
It does, but I don't know. The entire second half was kind of not what Dan... I think Dan Quinn gave up at halftime, actually. Like, I think he was like, we started fast, we created two turnovers, and we did nothing with it.
And I think it's hard.
He blew his halftime speech pregame because he had nothing at the half.
And I think, you know, this defense has been struggling all year, and they finally put in a good half, and the offense doesn't.
I mean, that's why he kept... Yeah. Everybody talks about complimentary football is everything. And the first half of that game was the opposite of complimentary football. Every time the defense did something, the offense stubbed their toe. And once again, the first drive of the game cannot end in a turnover. I mean, just awful. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, phone lines are open. We want to hear from you, Commanders fans. Your chance to be the quarterback of this segment, 833-804-0910. Tweet me at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. I got a good tweet from Billy. Said, AWOD, they could have won that game. Should have been a 2-touchdown lead at half. Needed Jaden. Kind of like what you were saying, Stubb. I mean, it was absolutely a game that you could envision Jaden Daniels winning.
Yeah.
And yet, as we get to AWOD's 10 takeaways, the first one, Mariota wasn't that bad. Here on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
All right, AWOD's 10 takeaways. If you want to chime in, give us your thoughts. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Takeaway number one, Marcus Mariota wasn't that bad until the game got bad. Like, he was very accurate in the first half in this one. He was hitting his receivers on time. It's not his fault. Deebo went through his hands and it got picked off. I thought he ran it well. Not as good as I hoped he would, but he did pick up some decent yards on the ground. He wasn't bad until the end of the game, and you gotta love, all three tight ends got involved. Ertz, Bates, and here's Mariota finding Ben Sennett.
Here's the snap. Mariota stepping back, throws to a far side. He's got a wide open sitting at the 40. 45, 50, got a block downfield from Deebo. Takes two Chiefs defenders and knock him down. Wide open space, and Sennett's back in Chiefs territory at the 44.
Ben Sennett, they completely forgot all about him. He was wide
That's the
open
hurry up, man.
For about 5 seconds, and I'm up here in the booth like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And I'm pointing to him. Mariota, obviously he wasn't the primary.
Takeaway number two here, where is the rushing attack gone? For Washington, it's disappeared. And it's not just Jaden Daniels, like I said, because Mariota can run too. But he is our lead back. What happened to Bill? Where is he? Is he working for Bill Nye? Bill did nothing in this game. Another week in which he cannot find the crease. I'm starting to think that was more on our offensive line, but I did say this 2 weeks ago. Like, the fumbling issue, I think, messed with his vision. McNichols is just better. Rodriguez only got one carry. You got to try other guys. 9 carries for 25 yards. Not good enough from Bill to be our starting running back. Ben Standen kind of said, well, maybe they should pivot off of that. I've been saying that for a couple weeks now. McNichols is Mick Don't Forget About Me. I'm running Mick Angry. Give him the damn ball. Let McNichols do something. But we could do nothing with Ja'Cory Kraske-Merritt. And on their side, Pacheco, 12 carries for 58 yards. Hunt, 9 carries for 40 yards. Pacheco and Hunt killed us all game long.
So Kareem Hunt in to the right of Mahomes. Kelce stepped behind the left tackle. Rice, who thought he had a touchdown, is out to the left. Worthy out to the right. Second and goal inside the Commanders' one. Worthy goes in motion. Snap, handoff, Hunt right up the middle. He crossed the goal line, and this one's going to count. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Yeah, they were 4-for-4 in the red zone. 4-for-4. And they were able to run it in. That makes it easy. Number three, 10 takeaways here by AWOD. Number three is the leading receiver was Jeremy McNichols. Like, we get Terry McLaurin back. We get Deebo Samuel back. Where are the targets for those guys? Where are the targets for them? It just felt like every play from Cliff, like this was not the best game plan from Cliff. Too much sideways throws. Too much throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage. Not airing it out deep enough. Because when you did, it was successful. But the leading receiver was McNichols in this game. That's an issue.
McNichols to the right of Mariota. Three wide receivers to the right, all of them inside the numbers. Terry's out to the left. Here's the snap. Terry chips off the edge. Mariota steps up, looking, surveying, just dumps one off. Floats one up to McNichols at the 35-30, 25, and out of bounds at the 20-yard line. What patience by Mariota.
I love the patience. I love the fact that he didn't bail on the pocket. The Chiefs, they come with a four-man rush, and they have a guy spying Marcus Mariota.
That was the lollipop pass to McNichols, but he got a lot of yards on that. Takeaway number four, we didn't beat ourselves with penalties, but we did with turnovers and drops. And the drops came in big spots, in big moments. Ertz had one, and Jalen Lane had one that everybody saw on national television because it happened the same drive after he dropped the kickoff. So, just frustrating stuff. We didn't beat ourselves with penalties. We did with turnovers and drops.
This kickoff hits Jalen Lane in the hands and rolls out of bounds at the 2-yard line. He mishandled the kickoff. He was running to his left. He fumbled the ball on the catch, and then it rolled out of bounds into the Washington sideline, and the Washington offense is going to start around their one.
Takeaway number five, the Chiefs dominated us in yards in this one, 432 to 60. Takeaway number six, the third downs were really solid. 7 of 12 on third down. But the two missed fourth downs cost us everything. Here's the call.
They're going to be aggressive here. They're going for it. It's a fourth and six.
Be alert for a zero blitz by the Chiefs.
Zach Ertz goes in motion. McNichols to the left of Mariota. Fourth and six at the Chiefs 40. Aggressive move here early. They snap it. Chiefs break 5. Mariota's got time. Throws into the slot. That is caught by Zach Ertz right at the line to gain. It's going to matter where they mark it.
That's a first down. Let's see this spot.
Takeaway number seven. The Chiefs in the red zone were perfect. 4-4. Washington, 1-2. As Patrick Mahomes found Travis Kelce in the end zone. And this was the tie for the record.
Mahomes with Pacheco to his right. Three wide receivers to the left. Use a break here. Worthy moves closer to the line. Mahomes surveying, dancing, moving to his right, throws back to the end zone. Travis Kelce caught about a yard deep into the end zone, and that's a touchdown, Kansas City.
Takeaway number eight, Andy Reid's halftime speech must have been iconic. I kind of loved they showed him postgame in the locker room. If you guys saw, he said his first words were, well, it was a much better second half. I mean, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall there at halftime because I feel like Dan Quinn had nothing to say. He burned his speech pregame, and it worked. He got off to a fast start, but then Andy Reid turn things around for the Chiefs at halftime, and they came out there, and they knew they were beating themselves, and they just stopped doing that, and they executed. And takeaway number nine is Travis Kelce just has a great feel for the game. I mean, that incredible play was off script. He was blocking and then just leaked out as Daron Payne was caught in a weird position because he didn't know if he should guard him or go after the quarterback, and that happened again on the touchdown to Kareem Hunt. The Chiefs have a really good feel for the game, but especially Travis Kelce. And takeaway number 10, I was wrong, way wrong, about this offense being just fine with Mariota. Because Cliff needed to change the game plan, because you cannot call the exact same plays that you do with Jaden Daniels as Marcus Mariota. Like that one QB designed run that we've seen Jaden have success with, Mariota went absolutely nowhere on that one. The fourth down play, Jaden probably scrambles and picks it up himself. Instead, Mariota heaves it downfield to no one.
Terry's in the slot. McNichols is the back. Second, fourth down attempt. Washington's 0-for-1. They needed 6 on the last drive. Got 5 3/4. Fourth and 1. Snap to Mariota. Here comes a big blitz from Kansas City. Mariota wants it off for Terry, who's not looking for the ball. It's thrown out of the back of the end zone. Incomplete. Turnover on downs.
And that's how.
All out, man.
Yeah, that's what the Kansas City Chiefs are going to do.
Yeah, and we weren't ready for it. We didn't have the blitz beater ready. In terms of a hot route, but those fourth down misses cost us the game. Let's revisit our keys to victory and pathway to success here. And I did say that even in defeat, Washington could get the train back on the tracks. And I think they did, because they did have a good performance in the first half. The train might be back on the tracks. It's not going 100 miles an hour, but it's back on the tracks. We'll see what they can do next week when they return home. The first key on the road was long drive, 60% on third downs. I asked Jeremy 7 of 12, all right? That was good enough on third downs. It was good enough on third downs. Second key was to win the turnover battle. No, we did not win the turnover battle. Because Mahomes had 2 picks, Mariota had 2 picks. We had missed fourth downs. You know what this came down to, though? Was the Chiefs had 2 fumbles that they recovered both of them their own. They recovered 2 of their own fumbles. And they, because of that, won the turnover battle with us. Third key to victory was an explosive first half touchdown. An 11-yard touchdown pass to McLaurin is not explosive. We had our chances. We had our chances on the first drive of the game. We had our chances after the Lattimore interception. We had our chances after the drop by Travis Kelce that turns into a interception by Wagner. We had our chances on fourth down. That, if that was executed right, they tried to go deep to McLaurin, it could have been your explosive first half touchdown. We didn't execute. So we lost 2 of the 3 keys. We did have more sacks than the Chiefs, but part of the pathway to success was to run for 100 yards. We didn't do that. We didn't control the time of possession at all, which is just crazy because you could see that was the game plan, but it didn't work. It just didn't work at all. They tried to methodically drive down the field in the first drive of the game. Interception. They tried to methodically drive down the field. Miss on fourth down. Just didn't execute. Didn't execute. But I'm a little bit optimistic because I thought that was going to be 60 minutes of hell. It turned it up to just be a 30-minute butt-whooping. But I'm excited for an opportunity because next week and the week after that, it's still 2 statement games. Still 2 statement games. And the first one's on Sunday Night Football, and the second one's America's Game of the Week. Eventually, we have to win on primetime. Right, Stub? Eventually, we have to win on primetime.
Wouldn't say have, but I'm expecting at least one.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Maybe the best half of football the defense has played all season long, and a second half that is forgettable. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. We head out to the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to continue our terrible Tuesday conversation following a Commanders Monday Night Football loss to the Chiefs. We hit up David Harrison, who joins us right now. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. I've been saying the positives. Everybody wanted changes. They made changes. The changes, for the most part, worked and looked good, but it wasn't enough. What were some of your biggest takeaways from this defeat, man?
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, like you just kind of mentioned, that first half of defensive football specifically, like, really just kind of showed what the defense is capable of, right? Like, there's something to be said about coming into a game against, you know, that Kansas City Chiefs offense, especially with all their weapons back and all that, you know, all that that's capable of doing, and having the performance that you did, you know, in that first half. Granted, you know, there's the deflection interception, which, you know, it's part of the game. It's not necessarily something they forced, but it's still, you know, part of the game. And then at the same time, like, the Kansas City Chiefs are kind of this team that are a little bit kind of known for almost like trying to like lull you into a sense of confidence and like, oh no, you're stopping all of our tricks and we can't, you know, move the ball on you. And then boom, they just kind of come out with haymakers, and you kind of saw that. But I think the biggest difference between the teams, you know, and really we can lean on Dan Quinn here, because I really thought it was great that he was very honest and upfront when he was asked last week by Chick Hernandez at WSA9, do you know who your team is right now? And he just flat out said, no, I don't. Because one, like, this is a man who's been in the league for a really long time. He knows the kind of optics that can produce, but it just kind of shows, like, he's not really interested in playing the game and sugarcoating things, and it, like, you can respect that kind of a move, right? Well, Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, they know who they are. Steve Spagnuolo knows who his defense is. Like, they know who they are. They just had to get all their cast players back, and they did that. And I think in the second half, that's what you see, is you see two teams on the opposite spectrum of identity. One knows who they are, so they go in the locker room and say, okay, here's what's not working, here's what we're capable of doing because we know this, so let's do these things that are different. And the other team, you know, let's see if they can stop it. And the other side, the Washington Commanders in this case, you know, that's kind of like the first half on defense. You've really seen them establish something. So you go in the locker room, you know, you're already changing something coming into the game. You don't necessarily want to go into halftime and try to change it again, anticipating what the Chiefs are going to do. And I think that's really where the rubber meets the road in the second half as far as the defense is concerned. Obviously, the lack of complementary football from the offense certainly doesn't help matters.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dan Quinn had the guys fired up. The Chiefs keep talking about the energy that they brought in the first half. They forced the turnovers, but they did not execute, did not make the most of those opportunities there. And then the second half, you're right, it was all Chiefs. The fourth down plays, was that just lack of execution? Do you think it was a bad call on either one of them? What are your thoughts? Because it feels like that was the ball game. Two missed fourth downs, that was your game.
Yeah, certainly you could go that way. You know, I didn't really have a problem with either fourth down call, the decision to go for it, I should say. I didn't really have a problem with either decision to go for it, which is, you know, just from my lens perspective, is actually kind of saying something. I'm not really a fan of going for it on fourth down in early situations. But, you know, again, like, you're trying to not just find who you are as a team, but really establish who you are. Because, like, they know who they want to be, right? So let's go out and let's be that team. I think that was just kind of the message that they were sending there. Usually I feel like it feels desperate, and I didn't really feel like the Commanders going for a fourth down in those situations was a desperation move. It was more so a move for themselves to find themselves. That being said, the fourth and one deep shot call, I hate that call. I absolutely despise that call. Even if you call the same play, up until that point, and, you know, I've been traveling all day. I haven't gotten a chance to really watch the game film yet myself, but just watching it in real time, I remember looking over to Chick sitting next to me in the press box, and I said, man, like, what I really like about what Cliff is calling right now is they're doing a lot of short to deep reads versus deep to short reads. You see a lot of deep to short reads in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. It's very common in the NFL in general, but they came out and they were doing short to deep reads, and Marcus Mariota was taking the open receiver and, you know, taking with the defense. It was just kind of an old school type of game. And then on that fourth and one play, they go deep to short and they take the shot. And if you go back on that, the short is open and it's a first down. And I really don't like putting the situation up there where it's all or nothing. You know, you're down one score, you're in this game, your defense is doing a good job, and you take an all or nothing shot in that situation. I think you either take the short route, you go short to deep, take the short route, get the conversion, or you try to run it and get the conversion. Honestly, with the defensive Chiefs hat on, I don't know that you convert if you run it, because they brought a whole lot of pressure. But either way, if it's the same play call, stick to the short to deep. It's working, right? Stick to it, get the conversion. If you want to take the shot on first down after that, go for it. If you want to take it on second down, go for it. But I think you just it's kind of a situational football thing. You got to know the vibe of the game, see what your defense is doing. This is where complimentary football, I think, really kind of misses this team sometimes, is the coordination between what is happening on the other side of the line of scrimmage and how I need to respond to that. You know, in this case, obviously, specifically with Cliff, because I just think, like, again, just the game flow says get that first down, like, prioritize the first down, get that first down, stay on the field, keep Pat Mahomes on the sideline, give yourself a chance of putting up more points. Reward your defense for stopping them, I think they just missed the mark there.
Yeah, and I think the second half is a result of that, because when you don't play complimentary football, it ends up biting you in the rear end at the end of the day, and the defense cannot be happy that they went to the locker room with two turnovers and 7 points were just on the board for the offensive side of the ball. And that's why, you know, I think one of those, with the two turnovers you created, one of those should have been a field goal opportunity, or you'd call a different play knowing it's Mariota, not Jaden Daniels. There's an issue with this offensive line and this rushing attack for Washington. I don't know what the hell I was watching out there from them, but there was just no holes, it felt like. Bill is not the same running back he was earlier in the season. I think the fumbles have messed with his vision. But to me, this was not on the running backs. This was on the push from the offensive line. There was no push.
Yeah, the rushing offense, like, if you look at the totality, it's tied now for third in the NFL. But when you look at the lead it had as the number one rushing offense in the league just a month ago, it really kind of demonstrates how far the rushing attack has really dropped. And it's been week in, week out. And, I mean, you know, you go up against the Chicago Bears, and it's one of the worst rush defenses in the NFL, and you're not really able to generate anything there. You go up against the Dallas Cowboys, who are the worst rush defense in the NFL, and you're not able to generate anything there. And certainly the Chiefs' rush defense was better than either of those, but still not good, and basically just run away from Chris Jones or you know, duo block him to get him out of the way. And like you said, just still not good. So I don't know what the problem is up there. I know that a lot of the Commanders' rushing yards are obviously accounted for by the quarterback, and that can kind of skew numbers a little bit. But I'm with you on Bill, you know, and it's rough for a rookie, man. I mean, he's had so much kind of put on him early on. I've said it multiple times on Locked On Commanders. I feel like they put way too much on him too soon. I think it needs to be a much more judicious spread between him, J-Mac, Jeremy McNichols, and Chris Rodriguez. And I will give Cliff some credit. Like, he did get all three backs on the field early last night. But I just think that's it's kind of like maybe too little too late. I'm seeing a lot more dancing in the backfield by Bill. I'm seeing a lot more hesitation in the backfield by Bill. I don't feel like he's running with confidence anymore. And that's sad to see, because we've seen what happens when he hits the hole, when he can hit a hole, and when he can get going north and south. And certainly there was a couple of moments there where you kind of see like the almost break and all that stuff. But like you said, from a consistency standpoint, they got to figure out a better way to generate movement up front, or at least get the guys mixed in there so that you're giving the defense a little bit of something different to look at.
Yeah, I want a lot more McNichols personally, but the offensive line, it's not who we thought they were. And we had all this talk about how good they could be on paper with Cosme back. He's back. We haven't seen a difference. Tunsil left the game. I didn't think Coleman was bad at all in that one. Maybe Chris Paul and Biotis were. But, like, the right side hasn't been a strength. The left side hasn't been a strength. Where's the strength right now of the offensive line?
I think the strength of the offensive line right now is pass protection, and certainly not in every down situation, right? There's one specific down where Marcus Mariota was left punching the field because the Chiefs brought four men, and the offensive line somehow let one guy get in completely unblocked. But I think overall, I mean, I remember specifically, you know, even the Dallas Cowboys game. I mean, there's plays, multiple plays where Jaden is just like standing back there reading a book. You know what I mean? The unfortunate part of that game is he didn't have receivers getting separation to get open, so he didn't have anybody to throw it to while he's standing back there. But I do think that's maybe a place where you can highlight a little bit what's going on with the offensive line. But like you said, you know, it's kind of just like a micro shot of the entire season, to be honest with you. Is like, you know, when the left side gets the good push off the line, it's a run to the right, and the right side doesn't. When the right side gets a good push, it's a run to the left, and the left side doesn't. It's just, it's kind of one of those situations where it's like, what can go wrong is going to go wrong. You know, you go to the Laremy Tunsil hamstring. It's like, how many more injuries can this team deal with and still try to stay competitive? And boom, there's Laremy Tunsil out of the game after the first possession. You know, so it's just kind of one of those seasons, man. Like, this team just seems a little bit snake bit. You know, they're not going to make the excuse of injuries, obviously. You know, like, the public's not really going to give them a pass on that. Opposing teams aren't going to give them a pass on that. But I think contextually, when you look at this team, man, you do have to at least just understand that this is not anywhere close to the version of the 2025 Commanders they were supposed to be. And to a significant, like, every team deals with injuries, but I think this team is dealing with injuries at a rate that is not usually seen amongst NFL teams.
Yeah, it's just, it's not the same offense it was a year ago, and it makes sense. You look up and down the lineup, so many guys have missed time throughout training camp and practice. I mean, Jaden has missed practice. Ja'Cory Kreisky-Merritt was running back 4 when training camp began, maybe 5. McLaurin missed training camp. Debo has missed practices. Zach Ertz feels like every single week he gets a veteran day off. Maybe they need to stop that because he's dropping passes. It's driving me crazy. Laremy Tunsil missed a lot of time in training camp. They were trying to be careful with him. Chris Paul wasn't your starting guard. Biotis was there. Okay, he's the one. But I think I overrated him. Cosme missed time. And Connerly has had, like, the most mistakes, I feel like, of any guy on the offensive line.
Yeah, and Connerly's, I mean, you know, you don't want anybody to have mistakes, right? But Connerly's kind of like the guy you give the pass to a little bit, because there's going to be growing pains for a rookie. You just kind of have to understand and appreciate that, I suppose. But yeah, man, I mean, it's been rough, you know. But, and that's kind of, you know, I've had this conversation with some other team hosts on the podcast network, I've had it with some fans, you know, and so you look at it, like, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they had Patrick Mahomes all season. They've had Travis Kelce all season, you know, but they lost Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, and they end up with a losing record. And people are wondering, oh, like, is the Chiefs dynasty coming to an end? And, and all that stuff. And to be honest, like they haven't dealt with maybe 10% of what the Commanders have dealt with from an injury standpoint. If you take Pat Mahomes off that roster for three games, I mean, you look at, say, Pat Mahomes or Rashee Rice, Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin played two games together all season so far. Like we're at the midway point of the year, and Jaden and Terry have played two games together all season long. If that's the situation with the Kansas City Chiefs with Pat Mahomes and Rashee Rice, then I think they're much worse off. If you take George Karloftis off the line, you know, to kind of mimic the Dietrich Wise and et cetera, et cetera. And again, they're not excuses, right? At the end of the day, like, you have to go out there and perform to the best of your ability. And some of the mistakes and errors that are happening are errors that shouldn't be happening no matter who is in the game. Like, these aren't skill set, you know, you're not getting beat by skill set. You're getting beat by eye discipline and communication, which is something that should be universal across the roster. So, you know, again, nobody should be trying to, like, completely excuse things. But like I said, it is a significant part of the picture, just not the entirety of the picture.
Yeah. But yet everybody goes through it. It feels like every year during 1 month, some team gets bit with the injury bug. The thing is, do you have a next man up? Can you respond from that? David, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.